Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Well, hello and welcome to yet another episode of Let's Talk About. And you're wondering, well, who are these people talking out of my speakers right now? Well, I'm here to tell you that I am one of those voices, and I am Elliot. There's also going to be another voice that is going to accompany me through one of your speakers, and that is Seb. Say hi, Seb.
Hi, Seb. Am I only coming out of one speaker and you're coming out the other speaker? Is that how this works?
Well, no, technically, how I mix it is that I'm more prominent in one speaker and you're more prominent in the other.
Interesting.
That's just cool. You know, to make it sound like we're kind of having a conversation in people's ear holes. But it's not fully one way or the other. In case, you know, any of our listeners have a bad, like a dodgy earphone.
Maybe you don't have an ear.
Yeah, exactly. My voice is dying. So it's for reasons like that. That we want to be kind of with each other.
Okay.
So that was our mini episode. Let's talk about how Elliot pans the audio across the speakers.
Oh, best
but now
episode,
on
yeah.
to the main. Yeah, now on to the main event of well, could be argued Disney's most successful movie. I know it was up for many Oscars.
Oh.
They made a monopoly about it. That always means it's done well. And we are, of course, talking about Bolt, which
yeah.
actually achieved none of those things. Just a British sarcasm for you there. Have you seen Bolt before?
I don't know. I don't think I have. I feel like I recognised at least the plot points, but I don't know if I've actually seen this film.
I saw it when we were collecting our Disney collection, which would have been like 10 years ago now. And I hadn't seen it before then. And I haven't seen it since, apart from when I rewatched it a few nights ago in anticipation for this recording. And we had it near the start when we started doing these Disney movies, where we were kind of getting kind of like a good movie, Chicken Little. A good movie.
Yeah.
You know, insert movie that's not as good. And then for ages, we've had films that have been, like, really good.
Yeah.
So, my body kind of, like, went into shock last episode, where we spanned the wheel, and then we had Bolt, and I'm like, oh, no. We're back to this neck of the woods again. So, that's fun. So, I wasn't really looking forward to watching Bolt. But what about you? Did you have a sense of excitement for this media you were going to partake in?
Not massively, no. The poster's, like, quite bland and generic. This is from 2008. I don't really know much about this going in, if anything. The trailer, I think, gives you a bit of an idea. And then, like, the start of the film obviously sets it up. I went in quite blind. I wasn't really massively looking forward to this, unlike some of the other ones we've had recently. But I sat down and I watched it.
And I'm really proud of you that you did that.
Thank you.
Despite all of life's trials, you managed to get through it. Well done. Yeah, in my head, I was picturing lifeless animation. I was picturing boring story. And I was picturing annoying characters. And no music. That's what I went into it. So then imagine my surprise when I turn on the movie and within 15 seconds I'm greeted to the most adorable little puppy dog.
Oh, honestly.
With the cutest of all the cuddles. And I'm just like, oh, this is cute. I don't remember him being cute. And he was very cute.
Mm.
And that's my only takeaway from this movie, really, is that it has a really nice introduction.
Wow.
But no, it did go kind of like straight into it because I could not remember for the life of me what the story was for this film. at all. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, whoa. But the owner's dad is like a scientist and he's made the dog into a superhero. And it's like, that's basically like an action spy movie. And I was like, oh, okay. This is what we're going for. That kind of just jumped straight for it. I had cute puppy dog and now it's like an action spy movie.
Yeah.
And there's explosions and there's cool stunts. And he's like, he can do like crazy jumps and like crazy bark.
He's got like laser eyes. He's got the super bark. He's basically like bulletproof as well.
He's basically Super Dog.
Yeah.
It's a shame they never did that for Superman. Give him like a little dog that's like just like him.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. You should tell James Gunn.
I think so. So I was like, oh, okay. We've gone from cuteness to like action adventure. And then imagine my surprise yet again when it turns out that it's for a TV show.
Yes.
And I did have a look if this was spoiler territory. But apparently it's all like in the trailer and things that that's what happens. I was like, okay, that's okay. But then imagine my surprise again when the dog, Bolt, doesn't know it's a TV show. He's in his own Truman Show. Oh, and I was like, God, this is just... There are so many layers. This film is basically an onion. It's layer upon layer upon layer that is going on now. How did you find that introduction to Bolt?
Yeah, I mean, because for those who haven't seen this, or if you've forgotten, it starts with the girl, Penny. She's at, like, a dog pound, isn't she? And there's all these little puppies, but the Bolt is, like, a little white one. He's very cute, and she picks him because he's a bit crazy. And then it cuts to him being like a superhero. But I must have known the reveal prior that he's not actually a super dog. But then, as you said, there's a second twist where he doesn't realise. Because the synopsis on IMDb is the canine star of a fictional sci-fi action show that believes his powers are real embarks on a cross-country trek to save his co-star from a threat he believes is just as real. So it's giving Buzz Lightyear in the first film and some of the second film as well. As you said, like the Truman Show. So some of those aspects all kind of jumbled together. That was a bit like, oh, that's interesting, something different. Was how I reacted to that.
Oh, well, I appreciate your reaction. That was good. some highlights so far in the movie that I've got written down. And again, I think it's all in the trailer, so I wouldn't call this sort of like a spoiler. But the fact that the dog's so OP, with everything you've already mentioned that he can do, but one way he's just using his mouth to hold a car over a bridge.
Oh yeah, I've got that.
So, you know, it's a bit mad. I was thinking, oh, okay, this is a bit crazy. But yeah. And to be honest, considering all this takes place in the first, 10-15 minutes of a film, that's then, like, 3/4 of my notes just now gone.
Oh, okay.
So, take that with it what you will about the rest of this film. But I think it's like, I think the film goes so hard and crazy at the start, and then it just kind of like drops a lot, but not necessarily in quality. I think it just becomes a different style of movie.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Something that's a little bit, I would argue, a little bit more enjoyable as well. This film is just constantly changing, in my opinion, with what it's doing to me mentally. Which we'll talk a little bit more in spoilers. But As you said, basically, the plot point, the main thing of the film, is he gets separated. He's thinks he's a superhero. He's trying to save his owner, Penny. And that is literally the movie. Is it this dog? He thinks he has powers. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He's miles away. He wants to save his owner. And along the way, he meets so many various characters, so many various animals, and they all bring something different. I've got, and this won't be spoilers for you. I've got my next two notes are the cats are funny.
Yes.
And then like 10 minutes later, I then put, as are the pigeons.
Yeah.
And then my next one is, what's up with that hamster? So, you know, there's a lot of characters that you meet along the way, and I think they all add to the storyline.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they're pretty funny as well.
Yeah, I really like the supporting cast for this one, especially Mittens, who we meet later on, and Rhino. As you said, the pigeons are quite fun. I like the human characters as well. We'll talk a bit more about them, but there's like the agent in particular is quite funny. And I think despite the animation quality, because this is around that time, you know, they're still finding their feet with 3D animation. We've had like Meet the Robinsons, Chicken Little. They're almost like a bit dark in terms of the colour quality. Until we get to stuff like Tangled, where they go for a very stylized design that's very bright and vibrant, which is quite good. This one, it's not too bad though. Maybe like the eyes are slightly lifeless, etc., etc. But I thought it was quite effective, and I thought the voices were quite fun. The voice casting for this I thought was very random. Initially, Chloe Grace Moretz was Penny for the entire film. And then she was just the younger version, and then they got Miley Cyrus for the remainder of the film. And then John Travolta is the voice of Bolt, which again seems just so bizarre. I thought he was really good though. I thought it was a very effective, like playing that kind of sincerity, confidence, but then also vulnerability as well. Like as he's like coming to terms with stuff, it was really quite good. Yeah, not quite what I thought the film was going to be, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I think I said earlier kind of like what I was expecting with a movie, and it wasn't any of those things. I enjoyed this movie, especially, and we'll talk about this more in spoilers, the ending.
Mm.
I think that last kind of like 15% of the movie really got to me. I found it really powerful, really emotional. Mm. I mean, and it did get an emotional response from me as well, which, you know, for the first half of the movie, I did not expect one bit.
Yeah.
But I will not sit here and say, oh, this is an amazing movie. But I think it's a solid Disney movie. Yeah. I think it's one where if someone said, oh, I fancy watching Bolt, I'll be like, oh, okay. Not my first choice, but I don't think I would complain about it. And like I said, the supporting cast are really good. I think they're really funny. I think they really add to it. I think, which is good, when you've got a character like Bolt, where because of a situation, even though he's not an annoying character, because of what he thinks he is and the situation he's put into, he can become quite annoying,
yes.
Even though it's not his fault, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think having that sort of like that comic relief in the background from all these various other animals really works as well, whether it be the pigeons or the cat or the hamster or anything else he meets along the way. So, yeah. But, I mean, I was having a little look at, like, the movies that are around it. And Bolt is pretty much the last, I would say, of this era. Because then it goes straight into The Princess and the Frog, which from there is when I think Disney goes really back into form. Into the, kind of, like, the art style we know now. Into the great music. The great, kind of, like, princess storylines. Mm. But, like, the ones I can, like, put it in the same sort of, like, series as it is, I'm thinking, okay, well, you've got, kind of, like, The Emperor's New Groove, Atlantis, Lilo and Stitch, Treasure Planet, Brother Bear, Home on the Range, Chicken Little, Meet the Robinsons, Bolt. And to be honest, most of those are really good. It's just Chicken Little, which deserves to die. But but I don't think I could like pick between this or Meet the Robinsons. I think they're both very similar in the sense of they both have really good comic relief, but neither of them are like amazing movies. I think maybe Meet the Robinsons might be a little bit funnier, but then Bolt does have that emotional pull near the end.
Yeah, because I'm trying to, I can't really remember much about Meet the Robinsons, so it's hard to kind of compare, because it's interesting to look at the post-Renaissance era, as you said. There's like a bunch of like sequels to things, like Jungle Book 2, Cinderella 2, Peter Pan 2, but then you've got those like really classic, very interesting ones, like you said. Emperor's New Groove, Atlantis, Lilo and Stitch, Treasure Planet. I'd say, yeah, they're very high quality. The other ones, like Brother Bear, not quite as high. And then there's like other random ones, like Home on the Range. So they're like really trying to like try anything, I think, at this point. And because we talked about this the other day, is that I do like that they are trying different things, like Emperor's New Groove. The main guy is like really unlikable, And he's then a llama for the film. And then the supporting characters are so funny. And then again, you've got like Chicken Little, where it's quite an interesting premise about him seeing the sky falling down and stuff. Yeah, it's a weird film. And it's lacking a lot of things. But I like that they're going for big swings, whereas I think modern Disney, I think, was really playing it quite safe and not really trying for much, and you could really see that. So this one, yeah, it's not on the level of Ratatouille or Lion King, but this was quite a pleasurable watch, more so than I was expecting.
Well, there you go. And you've heard it here first. Not amazing, but definitely not rubbish.
Yeah.
And definitely a movie, I'd say, especially if you like dogs or yes. animals just in general, I think you'll like this movie. I said, if you own a dog, I think that this movie is really going to hit you in various ways. Again, we'll talk about it more in spoilers. But I think kind of like this movie in that sense, even though I don't know anyone who owns a dog that plays a superhero in a movie, and then that dog goes missing miles and miles and miles away, and the dog thinks it's got superpowers and it's trying to rescue you because it thinks you're in danger. If not, I don't know anyone in that situation. I think many dog owners will find this movie itself and kind of like the things that go on quite relatable.
Yeah.
So,
and I think with the animation as well, like it says here that they, I think they studied like hamster in a wheel to kind of get the movements and stuff. Because I was seeing like the dogs and the cats and everything thinking, these like seem really quite good, smooth animations, like the pigeons as well, the way their heads are moving. It's like this is a case of they've obviously studied the animals and animated it accordingly, which was quite impressive.
Yeah. So those are our thoughts on the movie. So we're probably going to go into spoilers now. So if you haven't seen it, like we said, give it a watch. It's by no means a bad movie. It's definitely got some good highlights in it. Especially if you're an animal person, especially if you've either owned or have owned a dog in the past. But if you haven't seen it, then we recommend you go do that now. But for those who have seen it, or those who haven't seen it but are just crazy people, we're now going to dive a little bit deeper into this movie. And for me, I do mean a little bit, because most of the points I want to talk about, I've been able to do so.
Yeah.
Okay. But was there anything in particular you wanted to talk about in this movie?
There's just a few like kind of bits. I thought when like the shoot like wraps up kind of thing, and then like, you know, Penny takes him back to the trailer, and then but he's like on edge the whole time because he's just so like just protecting Penny at all costs kind of thing. And it was quite sad really, because you kind of see this throughout the film where he doesn't know what it is to be a real dog. You know, Penny wants to take him home for the weekend. They're like, no, you can't. He doesn't know how to beg, how to play fetch, you know, how to play with the other animals. And that was quite sad, I think, actually. That was, as you said, any dog owners, like if you've seen a dog that's, you know, is on edge and really can't relax and is like very protective of you, I think that would definitely hit quite a lot more. But it's then also quite sad seeing him realize he doesn't actually have superpowers and everything's a lie. And it's like, I feel like if they did this more recently, I feel like you'd maybe do more with that. Maybe flesh it out a bit more. He seems to be sad, slowly realizing, but then he kind of just kind of gets on board, even though it's a bit sad. And so I feel like, you know, you'd be a bit more existential if they did that again. But I think it was still quite effective. And outside of that, there weren't many emotions, I don't think, until the end, which we can talk about maybe later. But yeah, that stood out to me.
Yeah, I think that being a dog owner myself, there was a lot of like hard to watch bits. Again, I think we've already mentioned a lot of similarities between other movies. Like you mentioned about so like Buzz Lightyear, which I hadn't really thought about it, but now you've said it, I'm like, oh yeah, I can, I get that. I think for me, I spoke about most of the bits I wanted to say. Like, it was cool seeing the interactions between sort of like the animals. It wasn't so funny where I think of a particular scene with the pigeons or, you know, with the cat or with the hamster. I think, oh, that was hilarious. And I think back to when we watched Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Oh, no, not Many Adventures, just normal Winnie the Pooh. And yeah. I could, like, recite entire scenes just because of how funny I found it. There wasn't anything like that, but it was definitely sort of like good comic relief. For me, are you happy for me to talk about the ending?
Yeah, go for it.
Wonderful, because it's what's funny is I've actually got my own dog next to me right now, whining for my attention. It's as if she knows. So I'm going to grab her, and then that'll be nice. There we go.
Tilly.
It's as if my own dog is speaking. Right, there we go. Okay. Yeah, so it was a good movie, better than what I thought it was going to be. And then eventually we start seeing this relationship form between the unlikely duo of the dog, Bolt, and the cat, Mittens.
Yeah.
Good old Mittens. And the biggest bit is like Mittens is like a stray cat. She's hungry. She's been abandoned. She wants food. And they're traveling through. And it's quite funny because like Bolt still thinks he's powerful. So he's like taken Mittens as his hostage in various ways, which is quite amusing. And they stumble upon a caravan park.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, you can do this. You're a dog. You can beg. And, you know, you can get food. And he's just like, I don't know how to do that. What are you on about? Like you said. But then she starts teaching him. And then that's not where it stops. It's then other ways as well. You know, how to fetch, how to play with other dogs and different bits. So it's really cool to kind of like see that. And that's when you start seeing kind of like this emotional side come out. But for me, the big one was when right at the end, he finds Penny. He sees Penny's already kind of like replaced him.
Yeah.
But then she soon realizes he soon realizes that that's just another actor. It's not like he's been replaced in her life. It's just in the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, just to rush through a whole bunch of it, then the building goes on fire, as it does, where they're doing the filming. And he finds her, and he's got to actually rescue her. And she's just like, they're trapped. And she's just saying, you know, you can go, you know, leave me here. And he's just like, no. And he cuddles onto her like dogs do. And it's just like, it's really sweet. And it's also really sad. And it's really emotional because you can see like the love they both have. And she's like there and she's treating him like a normal dog. Like, you know, he's saying, oh, you're like the goodest of boys and things like that. And even though he's in this horrible situation, you can see he's just happy that he's there with her, no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
And dogs are very much like that. They're happy to be in like horrible situations, as long as they're with their owner.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it was really touching. And I wept like a little girl. And then, oh, the big bit was like when he's like, oh, I can rescue them. And he, like you said earlier, he has like this, what is it? This sonic bark or super bark?
Super bark, yeah.
Super bark. And he does it, but it's just a bark through the vent. And it's that barking through the vent that lets the fire people.
Yeah.
Firemen. know where they are and they're both rescued. And oh, it's just, it's all much. It's all much.
Yeah.
But
that whole like section is really good because they've got across the country effectively, haven't they? And then he gets to Hollywood and he sees Penny and she goes, Bolt, you're back. And he runs towards her. But no, it's another episode of the show. It's the new Bolt. So he thinks, yeah, because we haven't really mentioned this, but before then, Mittens was basically explained to him that, you know, this girl, Penny, is just an actress as well. She doesn't really care about you. And again, you can see, obviously, she's been affected by humans before. Again, quite similar to Toy Story 2 with Jessie and her owner kind of thing. So they're assuming everyone's like that. But I guess the people just watched Toy Story 2 before they made this film. But so then when that happens, he's like, oh, Mittens was right. Penny didn't care about me at all. Which at this point, your entire life is like upside down because not only do you not have superpowers, also the one thing you do protecting Penny was like fake. But then Mitten sees what's actually happening there, where, you know, Penny doesn't want the new fake one. She wants her old Bolt back. So when he eventually comes back, when she's in the flaming building and Bolt gets there and she sees him, that really got me. That was very emotional. And then when they run to each other and and then like he lays next to her as they've kind of passed out from the smoke, and then he hears him and he does the bark. Yeah, that very effective. I was very tearful at that point. Because it's ups and downs as well, because do you remember the montage kind of towards the end where they're going across the country and they're after Mrs. has been teaching all this stuff? Like, I really liked that. Very good song, very good montage. It ends with the water feature at Las Vegas, like in Ocean's 11. That was like one of the best montages I've ever seen. That was cool.
That was very good. That was very good. Yeah, I feel like for me, in terms of like how I felt of it as a movie. It's kind of like a less extreme version of The Good Dinosaur. Mm. Where I would say The Good Dinosaur is it's got some comic relief. But the movie's kind of like quite steady with your emotions. Not many standout points until all of a sudden you start getting like this really emotional bit. Especially at the end. The last bit, I'm always sort of like in tears.
Yeah.
And I would say that as a film, Bolt's more enjoyable to watch. Because it's less serious and it has got a bit more of that comic relief in it.
Hmm.
So it's less extreme in that way. But then it doesn't really kind of hit you until the end.
Yeah.
It's like the starter and the main course. You know, it's okay. But the dessert, that last bit, is what really makes it. And that's what you kind of leave thinking about.
Yeah.
And that was me with Bolt. When that film first finished, I thought, wow, what an amazing movie. But I kind of had to sit back and think, oh no, the first two thirds, they were good. And I did enjoy them. But really, what was great about it was that ending bit. So, like, how it made you feel, like, that, I can't think of the word I want, but that connection to the story, if you will.
Yeah, because it starts fairly strongly. I think quite a cool opening. But I think, yeah, Good Dinosaur is an interesting comparison, because that's, like, a very dark kind of beginning, you know, as is common with some of these Pixar films. Then, I don't know, yeah, it's quite emotional at the end, but I feel like this is a lot more deserved, because you see, like, Penny is having to struggle and deal with things. Bolt is struggling dealing with things. And it's very earned. The things he's learned through the film and how his, like, dedication hasn't wavered even when he's had to come to terms with other things. And then, yeah, that payoff, I think, really works. There are other films where it feels really cheap and really unearned. And then that leaves, like, quite a sour taste in your mouth. Whereas for both of us, I think we found this a very effective way to kind of cap off a pretty fun movie, I think. Otherwise, you know, it's a weird, like, action movie start. Then it's like an adventure buddy cop found family middle. And then really emotional ending. And then they're all together. They've got Mittens is there on the couch as well. And Rhino's there. And, yeah, it works, I think.
It does. So, yeah, this wouldn't be at the top of any Disney list that I have. Unless it was top 10 Disney movies with main characters that are played by dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be somewhere on that list. It would be kind of like near the bottom end for me, but not because it's bad. Just because, well, we wouldn't be going for all the Disney movies if most of them weren't amazing.
Yeah.
So there's some amazing movies out there. This isn't one of them, but it has got some amazing moments in it, and it is a good film.
Yeah.
But those our thoughts, unless you had anything else to add on Bolt?
No, I think that's pretty much everything. There's not much trivia for this one. It's the thing I did see, there was a few storyboarded ideas that they axed, mainly ways of Bolt realising he doesn't have superpowers, which you could clearly see they had the idea and they're like trying to figure out how to actually make it work. But I think they said that some of them are a bit too dark, like the way they had it happening, and it's like, I like the way they do it, like the styrofoam is like his kryptonite. And that, like, is how he rationalizes it to himself, and seeing things that do and don't work. And then I think it's not a very quick jump to, oh yeah, I don't have powers. So I think that was effective.
I agree. But those are our thoughts on Bulb. Of course, we'd like to hear your thoughts. So, Seb, how can we hear their thoughts?
Well, if you put your front paw forward and your back paw back, you can do a super bark. No, they can let us know via digital media on Instagram. You can find our handle at lta.podcast. Drop us a DM or something else. You can also email us at letstalkabout2022@hotmail.com.
That's amazing. But of course, you want to know what film we're going to be watching next. So I'm here to tell you what it is by spinning the wheel.
Ooh.
Now, while that wheel is spinning, I'll let you know that I don't know what we're talking about next week. Could it be the movie that comes up on this wheel? Or could it be something else? Snow White is now on Disney Plus for live action movie.
Ooh.
So who knows? Maybe that'll be what we watch.
Well, there is that Star Wars show that I need to watch, the animated one.
Which one's that?
The Tales of the something or other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a new one, isn't there? Have I seen the new one? I do need to watch it as well. There's a lot I need to watch. I haven't seen Andor Season 2 either.
Yeah.
Or Skeleton Crew. I'm behind on a lot of things, same. But never mind. Yeah. But, you know, you do what you do. Right, next movie. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a Pixar movie.
Ooh.
And it rhymes with down.
It rhymes with down.
It doesn't actually rhyme with down. It's the opposite of down. It is, of course, Coco. Up. It is up.
Wow. That's...
I know.
Speak of emotional films.
I think it's all right. At least the first 10 minutes are quite comical.
Yeah, it's known for its laughs at the beginning.
I think so. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to seeing that and talking about that with you at some point. The other thing we did mention is we got the new Mission Impossible coming out, or come out even, and you've not seen a few of them, and I've not seen a few of them in a long time. But I did watch the last one very recently, a couple of weeks ago. So who knows? Maybe we'll do sort of like a bi-weekly. We'll watch one of them and review those. Who knows?
Oh.
The possibilities of a show are endless, which is why I put ... after Let's Talk About.
Oh, yeah.
Like, endless possibilities. Yeah, I know. See, it's all up here. But anyway, we want to make sure that you leave here today with just a little something that's going to boost you in this day. In this world that's full of pain and sorrow and depression and no reason to live, really, we want to make sure that you've left this episode with just that little bit just to keep you going until next time. So, Seb, what words of wisdom do you have for us today?
Well, I should probably quote one of the supporting cast of this film. That's Rhino the hamster. Ring, ring. Who's there? Destiny, I've been expecting your call.
And there you have it, folks. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.